Hey everybody, it's Obi from the Obi and Axe Show. I've got my co-host here with me, Axe. And today we have Olympic gold medalist, Hall of Famer, Bruni Sirwan. Thanks for joining us, Bruni.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I really, one of the biggest things when I was reading about you and looking you up is just all of the accomplishments. And most of all, watching your interviews, the thing that jumped out at me the most and why I wanted to reach out to you is that you're so down to earth and you're such a good person and you get involved with community. And I have a lot of respect for that. So it's such a pleasure to have you on. You've done so much for the country. So I just wanted to, you're an Olympic gold medal winner. For the 400. And I just wanted to find out from you, I guess the first main question is, how did this all begin? You're from Haiti. Let's hear a little bit about how it all started and how you kind of got into your career.
Yeah, well, I came to Canada when I was seven years old. And the reason why, well, my parents said it's for better opportunity. My mom and dad came to Canada 1 year before me and my two sisters back then. And they stopped working for 1 year. And after 1 year, my dad came back to Haiti to bring us to Canada. And one of the first things my mom told me was like, here we have all the opportunity and work hard. You can achieve whatever you want in life. And don't forget, life is a straight line. That means there's no shortcut. So that means don't cheat. And I grew up saying that, okay, well, this is my mom said. I said, there's all the opportunity here. And I'm just going to go after my dream. And that big dream that I had came at 17 years old. When I was watching television, I was watching the Olympics in 1984. Okay. And I discovered Carl Lewis, track and field. And
yeah.
Carl
Speed Lewis, demon. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
He became my idol. Yep. So at that time, I thought to myself, I want to do like him. And I want to run as fast or maybe faster than him and jump at the same distance or even further than him. And to me, it was kind of normal. And because remember, at 7 years old, my mom said, okay, whatever I want, I can achieve. So yeah. I'm just going to go after my dream. And I start training at 17, 18 years old. And well, it took a while. A lot of training, a lot of dedication, a lot of sacrifice, and I guess that I did it.
That is absolutely amazing. I just wanted to quickly touch on moms right there. That your mom, gave you that. She was such a huge amount of inspiration for you to say those words isn't something that we all should take so lightly. Like that's something of real, genuine love for you, in terms of that you can do whatever you want. And, I know a lot of people say that sometimes. I was like, it's kind of BS, but, she said it to you and you took it to the next level. And I think what I really respect about you is that, you saw your idol, and a lot of us, especially my generation now, will see idols, but will never aspire to reach there or go past it. And what I like that you said is that not only want to be just as fast, but I want to be faster. And I think that's taking in, I'm not going to be Carl Lewis. I'm going to be my own person. I'm going to be Bruni. You know what I mean? So I think that's what I really respect there too. That's awesome.
Thank you. And that's why I mean, today, one of my, the hat that I wear, I'm a speaker, and that's what I said to, and all my speaking engagement, my conference I do. And I always say to people, just go after your dream. And sometimes some parents, they tell me, well, after I hear you, I'm not going to say to my kids, oh, example, they're not going to make the NHL anymore and everything. I said, well, if it's their dream, you are here to encourage them. Don't tell them that they can't do it. And a lot of time people say that because they are scared,
Yes.
They're like, okay, well, just in case it doesn't work, so we might as well don't go after that dream. I said, well, there's no effort that you're gonna make is gonna be wasted. I always say, go after your dream, have no regrets.
So I have a question for you, and you're obviously an immigrant. You moved from Haiti, and I think for a lot of probably people that you meet are also immigrants as well, with immigrant parents and their immigrant mentality. Now, what is your advice for the constant idea of, parents are always going, you should stay in the STEMs, stay in the sciences and things like that, rather than go after, like what you said, your dreams. And I think that's what I saw a lot, especially in Asian culture, same thing, where you got to be the doctor, you got to be the lawyer, lawyer. You know, what is it about taking that leap that, you know, parents, I think, what do you think they need communication wise for them to understand that, to go maybe past just the sciences?
Yeah, it's a good question. And at the same time, it's sometimes I look at the both side of the medal. And of course, like for a lot of parents, I mean, my parents were the same. That generation was like, okay, well, if you're not a doctor or a lawyer, like basically you like nothing. I mean, yeah, I remember.
Exactly.
Well, I remember when I wanted to do a track, I wanted to do track even earlier. And for 5 years that I was in high school, I could never go to, let's say, Quebec City or yeah, Sherbrooke for a weekend to participate in sports, because my parents were like, okay, what is this? No, you know, focus, forget about the sport, you know?
Yeah.
And after 5 years I couldn't do it. And one time I remember I lied to my parents to go to that competition.
Yeah.
So when I came back with, I came back with 4 gold medals. And I show it to my mom. I said, Mom, please look, this is really what I want to do. And it's only at that point she was kind of like open, but just a little bit.
Yeah.
And I started to do track. But in that era, it was like, okay, well, no, go to school, be a doctor,
yeah,
a lawyer, or otherwise, you know, you kind of like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that this generation, I mean, now we are lucky, we are more open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So now myself to my kids, I said to my kids, well, you have all this opportunity, do what you like and work hard, you know, but I understand for a lot of generation. I mean, even when I talk to in the audience where there's a lot of, let's say, immigration, they're not people yeah, who are born actually in Quebec, because sometimes I hear, oh, well, because we are not born in Canada, we're going to have less opportunity,
mm-hmm,
or this field, there's no, let's say, black or Asian, whatever.
Yeah.
So the people don't go after that. I say, well, my philosophy is, for whatever reason, even if you have to work twice as hard, just go after it.
Absolutely.
What's going to happen later, you're going to have regret. I mean, you're going to say, well, it's the fault of the society because I don't became this or that, or I didn't participate in, at the Olympics and everything. Because I could have said, okay, well, it's the society. It's my parents said I don't do it, and my community. If I wasn't a doctor, they would not respect me. Because I remember when I started, I mean, they were laughing at me. They were like, okay, what are you doing? I said, well, I know what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the society said, I'm just going to go after my dream. So that's why I encourage people to do.
And yeah.
Even if you're not born in Canada.
Absolutely. I think that's great. I think, you know, one of the things that this reminds me of is, you know, this I'm not huge into all of these different motivational talks that you have all over YouTube, but there is something that really resonated with me. And, you know, society does create us to live within the confines of a box, and then you break your back 9 to 5, you make someone else rich, you do something because it's expected. And you know, I mean, if I told my dad I was going to be an entrepreneur or have this show when I was younger, he would tell me, you know, he would tell me I'm out of my mind. And you know, I think it comes down to, if you have to do something for free. You know,
yeah,
you have to follow your dream. You have to love something, and you have to be able to and be willing to do it for free, and then you'll be successful.
Yeah. And I think it's the proof, though, that you bring back, right? Like for you, you know, you brought back the money and the sales when it came to building businesses. Bernie, you came back with the hardware to show your mom and like
with the gold,
you know, you came with the gold and be yeah, like, look, I can do it. And I think that's the communication that's better now today. I'm like, yeah, you have 2 daughters, yeah, right? From what I read online. Yeah. So I'm sure that if you'd like to see the proof and what they're trying to do, even if it's something even, you know, you don't think that is like totally possible, if they come back with just a little bit of proof or showing the initiative that this is what they want, then, you know, as a parent and or as you know, somebody that's you know, encouraging them, you're like, hell yeah, you're gonna go ahead and do it. Like that's you yeah, you're proving me right.
100%. Bruni, the question I have for you is, you know, was there any time that you wanted to quit and give up?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do when you look at a situation that seems like a losing battle? What was it, and how did you overcome it?
You know, what I did from day one, I always write my goals. I have it written somewhere. It's true that the society told me that I had no money, that I couldn't do it because I had no money to buy equipment, sport equipment.
Okay.
I had no money to do the travel, the training camps and everything. So when I look at my goals, I'm like, okay, this is what I want. No matter what, I'm going to find a way to achieve that. So I went on knock on doors, and I mean, a lot of people were saying that, well, Bruni, I'd like to help you, but well, I have no no money to give you to for your travel, for your equipment, anything. So I went on knock on doors, on many doors, and there was a lot of no. And one time, one guy he used to own a restaurant, and he gave me a check of $500.
Wow!
So with that $500, I bought my first pair of shoes competition. When I went to Europe, where they have this big competition, I didn't have no medals. I didn't have no title. I mean, yes, people were laughing at me. My competitors were like, okay, well, what this guy is doing here? That's not your place. I had meet organizer who was telling me that I have no talent. Reporter was saying that I had no talent. But when I look at my goals, I said, well, I'm going to have to work twice as hard, or even if I have to work out 10 times as hard, this is what I'm going to do. And I start to visualize. I visualize myself. I mean, I see colors. I visualize myself. I say, one day I'm going to be there. I look at my goals all the time. And actually, it took me 15 years to achieve that, to become faster than Carl Lewis. But I always have my goal in my face. Say, okay, well, do you really want it? Yes or no? Well, what the problem that you have now, it's a process. You have to keep working hard. One day you're going to get it. That was my thinking. And that's why
that's amazing. I
encourage people to do that also. Write your goal. It's helped a lot.
And that's exactly what I think, you know, all of the guests that we've had and all the successful people that I've spoke to in my life, and, you know, how my mind's programmed as well, is 20 no's is when something starts to get fun. You know, nothing comes with a yes. I mean, I'd be retired, you know, at 19 in the sales game if it was a yes right away. It just shows that you're going to go up against a ton of doors that are constantly closed, and it's how you persevere through adversity to get that yes. Yeah. You know, someone's going to say yes. The for question sure. is when.
I think it also takes a special mentality, you know, to not only block out, you know, the person on your shoulder that's saying, hey, you can't do this anymore versus the one that you can do, especially on top of that, everybody else around you that might not believe you. Like what Bernie was saying, you know, all the reporters or, you know, whoever was saying that he couldn't do it and blocking them out and just putting your blinders on and staying focused. And I think that's the toughest part. And I definitely think it takes a special kind of person to work past the hours that we've been told we should be working, you know, 9 to 5, it's more like 9 to 9, you know, in the morning, you know, I'm working not just 8 hours, but it's going to be the 24, the full 24.
And did that make you, when they told you, you can't do it, did that make you want to make them eat it and go even harder? Cause I think that's what I'm getting.
Yeah. How'd you use it?
First of all, one thing is I never understood the people who were saying that it's impossible. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I was like, okay, why are you saying it's impossible? Yes, it's possible. You're going to find a way. And after that, to me, it was like, okay, well, you're saying that Bruni, be realistic, it's impossible and everything. I never understood those things. Mm-hmm. And even one pure example I'm going to give you, let's say the 100 meters example in the old days. I mean, the people were saying it's impossible to run under 10 seconds without cheating. Like, I mean, taking mm-hmm. steroids.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was a long jumper. I wasn't even a sprinter yet. And I couldn't understand why people were saying that it's impossible to run under 10 seconds without cheating. In my mind, I'm like, yes, it's possible. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
And once I got training and everything, I always knew that it was possible. And one thing also, my first coach that taught me when I was 17 years old, where everybody was saying that, oh yeah, Bruni, it's impossible, it's dead, you're gonna waste your time and everything. My first coach gave me a quote that till today I'm using. The quote is, the me I see is the me I'll be. Mm. And he said, Bruni, try to, yeah. to visualize that you can run faster than your idol, than Colorways, and see yourself running. And more I was doing that, I had more self-confidence.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, after 15 years, when actually I did it physically, and after that I was like, oh my God, it's nothing there. You know?
Yeah.
Because I was so prepared here.
Yeah.
And today, everything I'm doing today is like that thing that I prepare myself to do. I mean, when I started to do my clothing line example, people was telling me not to do it. When I started my foundation 20 years ago, people were saying that, well, it's too tough. You have to go and get sponsors and everything. And today we give almost 2 million by organizing training camps, by giving a grant to a sport student athletes and everything. And I see everything I'm doing, it's like, it's magic. But that's what I'm saying to people, never let your dream fade. Never let people say that you can't. Just go after your dream.
Go for it. Yeah, because if you don't, absolutely. And I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, are scared of the failure. And you know what I'm scared of? I'm scared of being 70 years old, staring at a ceiling, not able to chase any of my dreams and living in regret. That's what I'm scared of, Bruni. I'm not scared of being told no 100 times. My whole family has passed away. I've had addiction issues that I've conquered. As you've had things that you've conquered in your life and asked you to, and everyone else that's successful out there. You know, my fear truly is being stuck in mediocrity and not chasing my dreams and living in regret down the road. That's what I fear.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
You know
one thing I do in my conferences, and at the end, I always stay there for people who want to come and talk to me one-on-one.
That's great.
And one exercise I do, I ask people, say, well, can I have one or two people come in front of the crowd and share your dream? And a lot of times, people they don't want to.
Terrified. Absolutely.
At first, you know what? At first, I didn't understand it. I said, why people are afraid to come? And after that, when I talked to them on one-on-one, they shared the dream. It's easy. They share. And after that, I asked those people, why didn't you say it in front of the people? And as you said before, they are terrified. They are scared.
Absolutely.
They are scared of, Bruni, well, what if I don't succeed? The failure. And by doing that, they're like, okay, well, and a lot of time, you know what they do? They don't go after their dream. And just in case they fail, they don't do it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, don't do that.
I have a question for you, Bruni. And I know this question is probably not like everybody that, you know, holds hands and hugs the trees out there, but I'm gonna ask it. Big part before my father passed away, he told me that one of the things you've done in your life to propel you to the next level is get the losers and dream suckers out of your life. And I think everybody's equal. Like Deion Sanders said, some men work harder in preseason. And I think one of the biggest things, and everyone says, well, everybody's equal and you should never look down on anybody. And it's not about looking down on anybody. It's about hanging with winners and people that pick you up. How important was that to you?
That's the mentality. I truly believe that. I mean, today, even once after I retired, when I see talent, it's either in sport or music and everything, I push those kids. I said, okay, guys, go after your dream and everything. You can do it. I'm going to encourage you. Have this thinking, work very, very, very hard.
Yeah.
I remember some kids in the sport. I mean, sometimes I see talent and I'm like, man, you guys should work harder. And I show them the training, kind of training I used to do. I mean, today I'm looking at the training and I said, oh my God, I used to do that? you know?
Yeah.
When I look at that, I'm like, oh my God, I really wanted my dream. I said, guys, look, this is it, you know?
Here's the blueprint.
Yeah. You're gonna have some days that you don't feel like training. You're tired, but just go. Don't give up. Just go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And with that, you're gonna make miracle. That's crazy.
Because I think that's going back to what you were saying. You know, if you're surrounding yourself with greatness, it rubs off on you.
It's hard not to,
because it becomes your norm, right? I think generally, you know, the rest of the public, we know there's certain things that we should be, quote unquote, should be doing in order to become successful, which is like, you know, you're your doctor, you work your 9 to 5. But when you work with the outliers who are very great, you know, such as like yourselves, you start to rub off, that mentality rubs off on you, because my norm now becomes, let's push it past the limit. And that just becomes normal to me. And because your 80% will look like other people's 120%. So yeah. That's why at the end of the day, I personally think it's better to have a bad plan than not doing anything at all. You know, at least I'm doing something. I'm being proactive about it. Like I'd rather deal with a bad decision of like, let's say I go after my dream and it doesn't work out. At least I know than the fact that I'll have that regret for my entire life that I didn't try.
Yeah. And Bruni, you're an example of it, you know? Like,
and when you said that the surround yourself with great people who believe in you, people who are going to pick you up and raise you, that is very, very, very important. I remember since I was a kid, I always look to surround myself with people than better than me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I remember a lot of my friends were older than me, because I want to learn from people with experience and everything. And when I was running, I was looking forward to train with a sprinter faster than me to learn from them and everything. And that's the same thing in business. I mean, absolutely. In business, I go to convention, I talk to people, and I'm prepared to learn from them. And that's why that's how I raise myself. It's very important. Your surrounding, very, very important.
If you're always beating somebody in a race, where are you ever going to improve? You're just annihilating the same person over and over that you're better than.
Yeah,
you got to race Carl Lewis. Why? Because if you want to be the best in the world, that's the best in the world. So you either shy away from him or you don't.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's simple,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
But most people are scared, but you're not. And you won gold.
And that's why I brought on the hardware.
That's what the show's about. Stop being a wimp. Chase your dreams.
You showed Canada. You showed them what's up.
I love it. We're known for maple syrup and Bruni Sirwin and Donovan Bailey. We got and some hockey.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Some of the fastest boys.
I love that.
It's amazing the speed we're known for. Because Canadians are so laxed. I mean, we let everyone go at a four-way, but yet we got the fastest men on earth and women on earth. It's unbelievable.
We'll clean up, but, you know, on the finish line.
It's
though.
Like we're so nice and our whole hockey team has no teeth from fighting. It's just Canada doesn't match up. I love it.
I
think the one other thing I want to talk to you about that I think is, really impressive, and I think that more people need to follow suit of this is, you can't care what other people think. That was always my biggest issue, and I know it's shared by many. And even though you didn't care, it still gets in your head as to, like you said, why are they saying it's impossible? Getting inside our head. How do you keep those people out of your head? How do you keep naysayers out of your head? Because there's a ton of them out there, and they're jealous usually, right? Misery loves company. How do you keep them out of your head?
I do a lot of visualization. Mm-hmm. You can say like visualization, meditation. It's kind of similar.
Of course.
And I always, from a long time ago, all the negativity, I don't put that around me.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at my friends, family, whatever, whoever it is, I always have my surrounding positive. I don't want to hear no negative and stuff like that, talking bad about people, whatever. And sometimes I have people say, oh, Bruni, did you hear what this person said about you? Stuff like that. I said, listen, I don't even want to know.
Yeah.
Because you know what? At first, I had problem with that. And when I start competing, I had that everybody was my friend because they were all faster than me, you know?
Yeah.
And once I stopped improving,
they hated you.
Yeah.
Yep. Bring out the Haterade, sponsored by Haterade.
So I understood the game and everything. And I'm like, I mean, all of this thing, I mean, negative and everything, I said to myself, I'm going to surround myself with people who has a kind of the same thinking as me.
Yeah. So
people who have like no limits here, because like you said, I mean, people you're going to surround yourself, I'm going to say, okay, well, this is how you are.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you surround yourself with people who achieve great things or are positive, you're going to be positive.
Yeah.
If you hang out with people who just, you know, they have no big
ambition,
they're going to put you down.
That's
going to let yourself down.
That's true. And I mean, look, yeah. It's not a nice thing to say. I mean, tornadoes aren't nice, you know, but they're realistic. And there are people that live their life like losers, and I don't want to associate with them. And it's not nice to say someone's a loser, but guess what? It's statistically impossible that everyone's a winner. It's statistically impossible everybody has ambition.
Well, I think it's even on top of that, though, it's a mental game just to battle yourself.
Of course.
Saying, can I even do this? Because that's the toughest part,
right? Our biggest enemy is ourselves.
It's ourselves. You know, we look in the mirror and you're like, can you really do this? Are you up for it? Are you going to be fast enough? Are you going to sell enough? Are you going to make enough money for your business to, you know, succeed, whatever it is at the end of the day? That was a huge mental game for me. And I think that's why it's important to surround yourself with those great people, because I don't have to be the best, but I'll sit where the best are. And I think it's what those people do for me that it already takes all my effort for myself to battle against myself. I think I can't surround myself with people that give negativity towards my dream that is so crazy. I need the crazy people to be with me because it's such a crazy thing to do.
Exactly. That's the key. I mean, in my life, unfortunately, I had to distance myself for some surrounding, because if you go like every day, you like, let's say you start your day, you're positive and everything, and then you see this person, everything, all the feedback you have is negative.
Yeah.
Negative. Yeah. Put you down. You don't want to stay there. You can try to help that person to change their mindset. But if they don't change it, it's always negative against it. That's going to pull you down. And you have life is short.
Yep.
You have no time. Just switch.
Yeah.
Change the environment.
It's like you prepping for a race, right? You're not going to go be with people that are going to throw you off before the race, right? You're going to be in your mode, in your game, ready to go.
Right? Yeah. And I think too, the other big thing is, you know, and you know, now you're in business, and I'll share this with you. This is we can call it the O'Brien Business Tip 101. You only have a certain amount. Big thing I do for prepping myself for big calls with big executives that I have to do a deal with, and how I teach my sales guys. I only teach a small wing of, you know, Navy SEAL sales guys. I don't do the, you know, here's a script and train everyone. I train Navy SEALs I see something in special, and I tell them the same thing. You know, I only have a certain amount of energy for a great pitch.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm talking to three people in a day, I need half an hour, half an hour, half an hour of impeccable greatness. And I can't waste time and energy outside of that dealing with the BS. I need to be on point. You only have a small window for greatness, or it leaves. The train leaves. So spend your energy being positive and constructive and trying to be the absolute best you can, because when you start sharing that energy, you only have so much in a day.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, spend it being the best. I wanted to say we're almost out of time, and you know, I wanted to let you pump your clothing line and your speaking, where you're speaking next, and anything else you want the viewers to know.
Well, I mean, of course, the speaking, the clothing line, and of course, my foundation.
Yeah, tell us about your foundation, please.
Yeah, where we go in school, just encourage the student. Important to have a healthy lifestyle, to have a sport, to do sport in life, and very important, stay in school. That's very important.
100%.
And
that's great.
To me, it's a way to give back also, because I think that I had a great career. I mean, I had people who helped me and everything. And that's the same thing that I'm doing now for the kids. And I really appreciate that.
And the thing that jumps out at me about you, and I'll say it again, I think so highly of you because, you know, you believe in this. It's passionate and it oozes out of you. And I really appreciate
it. No, I
that.
Love it because I, you know? My favorite line so far today is when we asked him, you know, what is it when it happens, you know, when the haters get to you? And his response, I loved it because he's like, that didn't even register that it's impossible to him. Just like, he didn't even understand the fact that they're asking him that question.
How are you,
I love that.
I love it. It's almost like you're thinking, how are you that big of a loser? That's what you're trying to get.
It's more like,
around.
He's like, what do you mean it's impossible? Like, would you like, that's impossible for you? Because that's not impossible for me. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, saying the sky is red. He's like, the sky is not red.
I love it. Well, Bernie, listen, you're a class act. Let's you and I hop on a conference call in the next coming weeks. I'd love to hear more about your business and share my two cents anywhere I can help out. You've been an absolute amazing guest for us today.
What's the website for your businesses? Yeah.
My website is my family name. It's suren.ca.
Okay, great.
Perfect.
And then we can buy our clothes. Can we buy the clothes on there too?
Clothes is only in the store.
Okay, in the store.
We can do the conference though.
Aha. Perfect. I'd be absolutely happy to talk to you about. I'd love to hear more about your business and how maybe I can help. And maybe you can, send me some clothing.
We'll go for coffee next time we're in Quebec. We'll go for coffee.
Yes, I got you.
I'm always down for a free sweater. That's all I want.
I'll rock it all the time.
I just
time.
Want to feel
I
the
can't
wind.
Run fast, but I'll rock it.
Well, I don't
as
know.
I, walk.
I don't know. I can't beat Bernie in a race. I've never timed myself.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a challenge.
No, I will never race Bruni, ever.
Bruni, thank you for everything.
Well, maybe today you can beat me. Maybe today you can beat me.
I don't think so.
No, Bruni, let's be honest. You're so humble. No, there's no, even in a car, I might not be able to beat you.
That's true.
Bruni, thank you so much. You've been a class act. Bruni Suren, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Bruni.
Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure.
Thanks. Bye, Bruni.
See you, bye.
Thank you.